Amen. Good morning. As Pastor Phyllis said, we're in a series called Kingdom Life, and we're talking about the kingdom of God. And over the week one and week two, we saw just how much of a priority the kingdom was to the king, who was Jesus. And today, I have the privilege of talking to you about a subject of the kingdom, or subjects of the kingdom, that are near and dear to the king's heart. Something that is he's very passionate about. And he's actually called you and I to be passionate about too, and that is his people. This morning, I want you to know that you are the people of the kingdom of God. You are the people of the kingdom of God. And it's embracing this truth and the magnitude of what that looks like in our lives that will transform the world that we live in. Absolutely, I believe it with everything inside of me. And no matter how you slice it, no matter how you go through Scripture, page after page after page, you can absolutely see, you can't help but see God's ultimate determination and his passion towards his people. He absolutely is passionate about them. And he wants you and I to be passionate about all the people in the world as well. He's passionate about all of his creation, everyone that he's given breath to, he's passionate about. And he wants us to be passionate about that as well. And so this morning, you are his people, kingdom people. And the connection I want to make this morning is between being a part of the church and a part of the kingdom. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 is where we're going to start. And I'm going to start from verse 9. I don't think verse 9, oh, verse 9 is up there. Okay, here we go. Verse 9. It says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life that is worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have the great endurance and patience and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light." That was all one sentence. That's why I didn't pause. Paul is so excited and he's so passionate about this that there's just comma after comma after comma after comma, as you can see it. Verse 13, "For he has rescued you and me, us, from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption and forgiveness of sins." Let's say that again. "For God has rescued me, you, from the dominion of darkness and has brought you, transferred you," other translations say, he's actually transferred you into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Somebody say it. That's great news this morning. This is God's redemptive plan. This is the engine of his kingdom. This is the heart flow, the heartbeat of his kingdom, to bring redemption to his creation, to take people who are enslaved and in bondage to sin and the effects and the wages of that is sin and is death, and to take those people and to pluck them out of being under the dominion of sin and death and transferring them into his kingdom. That is the engine and the heart flow of his kingdom, to bring them and give you freedom and eternal life. And God's desire is for this for the entire world. The entire world. Everyone is created to redeem humanity. To redeem them. To take each and every one of us out of the rule of the evil in this world and place us under his benevolent rule and his protection under the king. A kind-hearted rule of the king. And so what this passage shows us this morning is that God, in his redemptive plan and the work of his, the redemptive purposes of his kingdom and the work of his kingdom, God creates a new community of people called the church. A new community of people. A people who are now people of his kingdom. They are kingdom people. A people who were once outside of God's grace and outside of his mercy, because we were wrapped up in the sin of our lives and in bondage to it, but now you have been set free. And this new community of people are no longer marked by sin and shame and death and guilt. These are now a group of people, a community of people who are identified by salvation and mercy and eternal life and the grace of God. Marked by those things. No longer are you this, but now you've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son. A new community of people. Kingdom people. And the connection I want you to make this morning is that the people of this kingdom are also the people of His church. The kingdom, people of the kingdom are also the people of His church. It's actually where we get the word church from. In the Greek, it's ekklesia. It means to be called out of the world and transferred into His kingdom. The word church means to be called out of the world, out of the dominion of darkness, and being plucked and transferred into His kingdom. And so the church is made up of a new community of people who are now governed by the King, and they take up their lifestyle, and their motivation is now, and the priorities they have now are the priorities of the kingdom that they belong to. That's the church. This morning, you are the people of the kingdom of God. Church, you are the people of the kingdom of God. In just the three chapters later, Paul, in chapter 4 of Colossians, he makes this connection as well. And he's referring to some people who are working in the church of Colossae, and he's talking about them, and he's referring to them, and he says, and he actually calls them co-workers for the kingdom of God. You and I are co-workers. We're partners in this incredible redemption plan of the kingdom of God, of the kingdom that we belong to, the kingdom that brought us redemption. And grace, and mercy, and forgiveness. You and I are now co-workers, called by God for His purposes. The church, then, are the people of the kingdom. The people who have been redeemed by God, transferred out of the dominion of darkness and into His kingdom. The church is the community of the kingdom. The church is the people of the kingdom. And the point I want you to see this morning is that the church, we talked about last few weeks about how Jesus brought the kingdom to earth, that when Jesus came to earth, He brought heaven with Him. Heaven touched earth through Christ. He brought the realization and the power of the kingdom to earth. And so what I want you to see this morning is that the church, when Jesus ascended back into heaven and He established the church is now the result of the kingdom of God coming to earth into the world through Jesus. The church is the result of God's kingdom coming to earth as it is in heaven. Where the people of God are who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, now are the people of God, transferred out of the dominion of darkness and into the kingdom of light. And so what that means, guys, is that God's kingdom is now presently active in and through His church. The kingdom of God is now presently active. It is at work. The activity of the kingdom, the presence of the kingdom, the manifestation of the kingdom, the realization of the kingdom, the reality of the kingdom is now active through you. That's awesome. What an incredible privilege that is. What an incredible privilege that is. That makes the church an outpost of heaven. The church is an outpost of heaven. It makes the church an outpost of God's kingdom. And so what I want you to see this morning is how essential the church is to the kingdom of God. The church, you and I, the gathering of believers, the fellowship of believers, the fellowship of people who have been called out of the dominion of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of light, we are God's instrument. We are the instrument of the kingdom of God. And I hope that builds hope within you. I hope it builds confidence in you and assurance and courage within you that God sees you this way. That's what I'm hoping for. Because it's an amazing thing to realize that this is how God sees you, and this is what God has called you to, and this is what He's transferred you into. He's actually transplanted you from being a people of the kingdom of darkness now into the people of the kingdom of His Son. And now you have the privilege of making known God's redemptive acts through Jesus Christ on this earth. You have the privilege. You get to do this. You get to do this. It's an honor and a privilege to be called by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, to be called one of His own, to be called into His kingdom, and then to be given a purpose and to be given a job to do, a responsibility, a calling to carry out His message of redemption into the world. The Bible says that you've been commissioned by the King. You've been given a mission to partner with Him in His message to the world, in His redemptive world. For the allotted time that you have breath in your lungs, you have been called. The kingdom has come near through what Jesus Christ has done. The power and the realization that God's kingdom is here and in our midst came to life in that delivery room. You with me? That's what you're called to do. Wherever it is that you are, to do the exact same thing. As the church, we are the stewards of God's kingdom. We're the ones that we kind of look after it. We manage it. We're stewards of God's presence. We're stewards of His ministry. He's entrusted His message to us. This morning we were talking about in the first service that we are actually stewards of the passion of God. That's why we get so excited in here. That's why when we're worshiping and we're just like, yeah, man, it's all, because we're stewards of the passion of God. God is passionate. If you think for one second any less than that, you're mistaken. God is, He is adamant. He is so passionate about the things that He's passionate about. And we should be stewards of that. We should make that known in our worship. We should make that known in our prayer life. We should make that known in the circles of our influence. We are ambassadors who are to be these authentic and passionate representatives of God's kingdom. That's the role. That's your role. That's my role. That's why God has called you out of the dominion of darkness and then has now transferred you into the kingdom of His Son. That's your role. That's my role. And we all do that in our contexts. We do that in our context. And what I was saying in the first service is that what God does is that this concept of the kingdom of God, as we talked about last week, is so big that we can't do it justice in a series. We can't do it justice in just one sermon. It is this multi-layered, multifaceted, dimension of God's it's so macroscopic, right? The kingdom of God. But what He does through His church is that He takes this macroscopic dimension of His kingdom and He makes it microscopic in the context of your life. So when Sarah's in the delivery room, she takes this macroscopic dimension and power and authority and glory and majesty of the kingdom of God, and she brings it right there into a microscopic, tangible component. We are the visible component and realization of God's kingdom. Now, anytime you study the kingdom of God, you come across some teachings that are a lot of bit distorted. And it's my responsibility to warn you about that stuff. And there's teaching out there and about the kingdom of God and the church and as if they're putting the two against each other. As where the kingdom is here and then the church is here, and that as if they're at odds with one another, or that one is more important than the other. If they're trying to, like, the kingdom is to be maximized and the church is to be minimized, or the church is to be maximized and the kingdom is to be minimized. If you ever come across teaching that outbalances the two, turn away from it immediately. Turn away from it immediately, because it's false. And what it actually does is it fractures God's heart and intentions for His people. It actually diminishes God's heart and it fractures the will of His kingdom on earth. And it's heartbreaking, because when you look at the whole counsel of Scripture, you see that the church that Jesus left behind and that He's established is inseparable to His kingdom. That the kingdom of God and the church are inseparable. They are permanently connected, eternally connected. They're interlocked. As a matter of fact, they are essential to each other, the kingdom of God and the church. One cannot function without the other. What do you mean by that? In order for the kingdom of God to operate on earth, it needs the church. In order for the kingdom of God to have its effect, as it did in that delivery room, at the testimony of Sarah, it needs a person of the kingdom. In order for the reality and the power of God's kingdom and the truth of God's kingdom, it needs people of the kingdom, the church. The kingdom of God cannot operate on this earth without the church. Why? Because the church is made up of people who have already been beneficiaries of redemption and justification. They've already received the benefits of the kingdom of God. They are the walking around, breathing life reality that the kingdom of God is real. And the church is made up of these people who have been directly impacted by the redemptive purposes of God's kingdom, and you're living proof now. You are living proof now of its power in your lives. You are living proof of its legitimacy. And so in order for the kingdom of God to operate on earth, it needs to work through these people, the people of the kingdom, the ones who were once in bondage to slavery, in sin, and previously living in darkness, but have been rescued by God and transferred into the kingdom of His Son. Because the Bible says that now you are the righteousness of God in Christ. That God is actually, He has credited the righteousness of Jesus Christ to your account. That's what the Bible says. It's been credited to you. So when you walk around, you're living proof of these redemptive purposes of God, that you are the representative of God, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. And you have been indwelt by His Spirit, the Bible says, that you've been anointed and you've been appointed to carry out the message and the mission of the King. Wherever you find yourself in life, wherever context you are in life, that is your role. You are a member, a representative, an authentic and passionate representative of the kingdom. And so the kingdom of God operates on earth through the people of the kingdom, the church. And conversely, the church cannot operate without the kingdom. You see how they're interlocked, they're permanently connected? They need each other. They are one, they need each other. They cannot thrive without each other. Why? Because all the power and all of the authority given to the church for mission comes from the King and His kingdom. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the Bible says that you are ministers of reconciliation. That's why Pastor Phil said that we are a kingdom of priests, the Bible says. We are a kingdom of priests. You have been called by God to carry this ministry of reconciliation. And what that means is that you have been given this privilege to carry the message that any man, woman, and child in this world can have their relationship with God restored once again because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. You carry that message. That is the message of reconciliation that you bring forth and that you carry. And it's a privilege and it's an entrusting from the kingdom of God. The message of redemption and hope that you carry comes directly from the kingdom of God. And so in order for the church to effectively represent these awesome realities of the kingdom on earth, they need a king in His kingdom to show them the way and to give them purpose. The kingdom and the church are permanently connected. The kingdom of God and the church are permanently connected. What goes on in one goes on in the other. They cannot be separated. Church people are kingdom people. Kingdom people are church people. And it is vital to God's kingdom that we all see this and that we all embrace it. The mission of the kingdom also becomes the mission of the church. Church mission is kingdom mission. There is no mission of God's kingdom that is not also the mission of His church. I want you to see that. I want you to see that because sometimes we can get locked into this right here, and what we're doing right here is as if this is it, as if this is the culmination of everything, but this is not. This is where we come together as a body of believers to give thanks to our King and to worship our King and get direction from our King and then go out and do the work that He's called us to do. That's what this is all about. You are the reality of God's kingdom in effect. your life, your history, your story, your testimony, what God is teaching you right now in this moment, what he's walking you through right now, this very moment, your life is the reality of that God's kingdom is in effect here on earth. You are the reality of that activity and the message and the ministry of God's kingdom, and that it has touched earth through Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Hey, Ryan, when you want to run Desmia up here, or do you want to go down and get her? All right, go ahead, and now would be a good time. Thanks. We're going to dedicate some kids to the Lord in just a minute. Amen? Yeah. But I want you guys to see this morning, that after Jesus ascended into heaven in his departure, he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell in your heart, in the hearts of his people, right? So what that means right now is that the activity of the kingdom of God is in his people, the church. The activity of God's kingdom is now presently among his people, you, the church. And so now the message and the ministry of his kingdom are taken up by the people of the church. In Matthew 24, Jesus says, "The gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to the nations." I want you to know this morning that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and you've determined in your life to give him lordship over your life and to get caught up in what he's doing, that you are God's choice of show and tell in this world. God chose you to show and to tell of his incredible goodness, of the glory and the majesty and the power and the awesomeness of his kingdom. God chose you for show and tell. And don't leave here today without embracing this truth that you are a person of his kingdom. There is a kingdom, there is a king, and you are his people who carry out his message. And each of you in this room have been called personally by God for this. God taking this macroscopic concept of his kingdom that one day we'll be able to understand in fullness, and he brings it down into a microscopic personal touch of your life. That's the power of a king, God's kingdom. That's the power. And I want you to think for a moment, what could be accomplished for the kingdom of God and for your king if his people are living yielded to his spirit? When his people are completely yielded to his transformative work in their lives. You see, God's objective, once he transfers you out of the dominion of darkness and into this kingdom of light, is to transform you, is to get a hold of your life and to mold you and to shape you into the image of his son so that you can accurately and effectively demonstrate the nature and character of the king. That's his objective. I find it, and I've said this before, it blows my mind that the God of the universe and the king sees me and you worthy enough to come down here and help us act and be and represent just like him. The king of the universe. That's awesome. That's awesome. So I urge you, people of the kingdom, to yield your heart and your minds to the benevolent rule of your king. Willingly offer your life to him as a sacrifice in response to all that he has done for you. Get outside of your comfort zone and allow him to mold you and to shape you so that you will be accurately and effectively able to model in this world his love and his peace and his joy and his righteousness. Amen? Amen. Now, as we finish up this morning, there's one more component of the people of the kingdom of God that I want to mention as we get ready to dedicate a couple kids to the Lord. In Revelation 1, the writer John, he's writing to the seven churches, and he refers to the seven churches as brothers and sisters and fellow partners, he says, in the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God, what that means is that it creates a family called the church. That not only are we people of individual people of the kingdom of God, but we have been lumped together. We've actually been brought together as family. And so wherever Jesus rules and reigns in the heart of a mankind on earth, they are your family. We are family. The kingdom of God creates family. And as when we gather together as family, just like this. We're family here this morning, and we gather together to give thanks to the Father and to discuss life and to get into the messiness of life with each other and to walk through life with one another and to help one another figure out how to live as people of the kingdom. We're all in this together, arm in arm. And that's what we've been called to. God has gathered together us together as a family to share life together. Family is more than just me, my wife, and my kids. But when I say the word family, it incorporates you. It incorporates all of the people of God's family in this world. And I want you to take that image and that truth and embrace it this morning. That we as the kingdom of God, the people of the kingdom, we're family. We're family. Amen? Amen. So at this time, I would like to introduce and call up the family of the Deuteriches. Am I pronouncing it right? Close. Come up here and teach me how to say it. Come on up here, guys.